$6. I don't know what I'm doing, but here are my thoughts. That is such a powerful place to be. That's what people want to see. People want to see you figuring it out. And because when you do figure it out, they get to be the people that are like, I was there when she had no clue what she was doing. It makes you feel like you're the cringiest person in the world when you're posting for 6 months to no one. If you can stick to it, like, you'll make the greatest asset your business will ever have. If anyone's like, I know I want something, but I'm not sure yet, that in itself could be an incentive to start posting now and showing us along the way. Because even if it takes, you know, a year from now, we knew that you didn't just wake up and decide to be a social media manager, to be a life coach. The more you are scrolling in your own industry, the more susceptible you are to comparing yourself to other people, getting that imposter syndrome feeling. If you're looking at a girl making smashed potatoes, you're not going to feel all that compromised. You're like, oh, that's, I like the way she edited that. And then make it for yourself. When you have people paying attention to you and who are invested in you and will buy peanut butter or courses or whatever it is from you, the possibilities are so endless.
Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you. Welcome back to another episode on Fully Express. We're talking about the thing that you guys are all thinking about of how does it look like to build and create your own personal brand on social media.
We had an awesome conversation with Sam Schmidt, who left teaching in 2020 to build two social media businesses, an agency helping female founders grow their businesses through social media, and a coaching business helping women build businesses in social media. There is so much money to be had in the world of social media, and she's obsessed with helping other female entrepreneurs share their message and get their bag along the way. However, she is currently pregnant with her first child, and as we jokingly say, she's on sabbatical from some of these businesses right now and is going to focus all on her personal brand, which is what we dove into in this conversation.
She really leans into the fact that your personal brand is your retirement plan. It is the thing that is going to evolve with you as you evolve as a business owner, as you continue to grow as a founder, and whatever that looks like. So if you really want to create a personal brand that is authentic and real to you, that moves with you as you move through life, this episode is for you.
Enjoy.
So, hi, Sam.
Welcome.
Welcome. We're so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
I feel like I just saw you at Like Minded OC. We talk about Like Minded OC a lot on here. And you led this magnificent workshop on personal branding. Sounds like you're the queen of personal branding.
You know, being called the queen of anything, I'll take it. So yeah, thank you.
But you also have your own story, because we know Keisha. We were actually just with Keisha yesterday for a branding shoot, and she's just expressed like how much your brand and your business has evolved. And you did share about this at the workshop, and I would love to start there. Just like, what was it like to even considering wanting to start a personal brand? What was it like starting to show up on Instagram? And then just like the evolution that you've stepped into.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone knows like the story and has seen the visual evolution, it's definitely Keisha. If you can see it so clearly in my brand photos to start. But really, actually, Keisha was one of my first investments I ever made, because I thought, okay, if I'm going to build this brand, I need professional photos. I need disco balls. I need champagne flutes. Like, I need – there's core things, especially about 3 or 4 years ago, that – you just need it in my mind. I was like, okay, I need beige, blazers, you know, all of the different things. And so I found Keisha and really brought that to life and leaned into it for probably the first year and experimented with it. Really, I've always called myself a professional quitter. I've always just like, okay, I'll crochet for a couple months. I'll do this for a couple months. And I told myself when I was going to build my brand, like, this is going to be the thing. I don't quit. And it's been so great, you know, seeing what's happened because I didn't quit it. But really, when it comes to the evolution piece, I think I finally was just looking at the sage green and the disco balls and all of the different things on my page.
Like, I'm the go-to businesswoman brand.
I never went full cursive, but like, I might as well have. And
we also did disco balls in the beginning.
Our first shoot together was disco balls.
I don't know what it
it is. It's like,
why did we do that?
Like, we're going to give fun. fun and joy.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's like, I'm fun. I'm
but in a blazer because we're business women.
You know what? I've always wanted to like describe why the disco balls, but it's like, you know what? I'm fun, but I'm also professional.
Yeah.
And I finally just looked at the disco ball and was like, I don't know why I have these in any of my photos. And I've always leaned more towards, actually, I started as a food blogger and didn't like making recipes, so that wasn't going to work well. And I was like, why don't I lean into food things in my branding and colors and just see how it goes? And oh my gosh, not only have I seen such a different audience, but also like the way I've enjoyed it has been night and day.
Yeah, so. You have a really bright Instagram. It's fun.
Thank you.
I love all your colors.
I did a, was it like life coaching? I'm not sure. Are you guys into astrology?
Yes.
So I feel like with like business things, you just become more woo-woo the more you get into it. And 100%. So
it's a spiritual journey. Entrepreneurship is a spiritual journey.
Oh my gosh. If that's not the truth. That is honestly needs to be on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
And I don't know if it was, is the rising the regular one? Or is the rising the.
You're she's the astrologist.
The rising is how other people see you. It's about how you present to the world.
So my rising is Gemini.
And I see that. I was going to ask if you're a Gemini when you're like, I'm a professional quitter of things.
Yeah, well, maybe that's me. There's one line that this like life coach had told me, and I was like, that is my personal brand. It was like, colorful, but not cringy. And that's, I feel like that's the way I like see my lens of my brand and what I've at least always tried to stick to. That's me.
Can we, now that you're talking about branding, I want to define this because it's something that I think people hear branding and they hear personal brand. Mm-hmm. Can you walk me through what's the difference? Mm-hmm. And is there a difference? Because when I think about like, I think, I don't know, traditional businesses, they're like, I'm going to bit like Skinkin here, right? Skinkin has their brand. Mm-hmm. But then talk about the difference between the business brand and the personal brand, if there is one.
So there definitely is a difference. And I think it comes into the personal brand is, I really see it more as the platform or the place where you really have the audience, where people really are invested in you. But the branding piece is really important, whether it comes down to the types of B-roll that you create or the fonts that you use and all those different things that I'm not an expert in by any means. But I think that kind of the branding piece pulls it all together and really like elevates the platform where the personal brand exists. So I still built a platform with the disco balls and the blazers and all those things. But I think once I really got the branding piece, which was leaning more into the colors, getting, you know, the fonts and really the assets that felt more like me, that's where it really just heightened the whole personal brand piece. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that's like the actual dictionary definition for it, but
yeah, I just feel like personal branding, especially with social media, I mean, personal branding has become so loud, like really like who you are and how you show up, your energy behind your brand, your authenticity behind your brand. It's what's attracting and people are buying that trust because they're buying to get to know you through knowing you.
Right.
And that's you. That's your personal brand.
I think it's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Like, I truly do. I think you can quite literally sell peanut butter. And if they're invested in you, they'll, like, they'll be more invested in your peanut butter product. It's just, like, such a cool era of social media we're living in.
Yeah. Anything's possible, literally.
Truly. It's so cool. Yeah.
Have you always felt confident and authentic online? What has your journey been like?
I think confident in a way, yes. Even though I look back at some of my older content and I'm like, what, where was the thought process there really? Where was I going? But I think every time I have posted in every iteration of, like we said, the food blogging, or I went through, you know, different iterations of my brand until I was really building it for my business, is I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it and just lean in. Authentic, I think, really came with, like I said, leaning into myself and what I actually like and not being afraid to do that. So I don't think authenticity is something that always came naturally, but confidence maybe, yes.
So like the confidence to like put yourself out there, the courage to put yourself out there, but the authenticity piece has come in later.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm articulating that maybe necessarily the way I want to, is, but I think it's honestly the confidence mixed with that kind of delusional energy has really worked in my favor. And it's not that I was ever inauthentic, but kind of going back to the disco balls and the, you know, all the things I thought I was supposed to do, I think I leaned heavily on that. Well, still, you know, being honest and ethical and myself and all those 100%. Things.
Yeah.
But I think once I really leaned in to all the things that we've talked about, that's where I was like, oh, okay, this is what authenticity can really look like.
Yeah, like this
well,
is
I think you're like showing up with more parts of yourself and like right. more of who you actually want, like are and want to be versus who you think you should be is what it sounds like.
And I feel like the word contrived keeps coming in my mind where everything didn't have to feel so formulaic all mm-hmm. the time. Once I really let go of that, that's where I was like, oh, this is what people talk about when they say authentic and authenticity.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. Because I think some people think of a formula, a structure. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is what it has to look like.
Mm-hmm. It's very curated.
It's very curated.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's, you know, there's sales psychology and things being recognizable and repeatable. And there is a level of importance to that, especially from a branding perspective. But I think at the same time, especially with you know, being at 2026, the rise of AI, you really think about what can AI not create? And really that curated type of content, I'm not saying that, you know, AI can, you know, ChatGPT can churn it out the same way that you can, but I think the more you can interject into your content and into your brand now, it just seems more real. It seems more human. It sounds so weird to say this, but it's so hard to be human now because of the, you know, AI and all the different things that we have, where I think actually having an element that's not so curated will actually move the needle farther for you.
Yeah. Wow. I just love that you said that. Like, it's so hard to be human these days.
It sounds crazy.
But being human is the thing that's going to stand out.
Truly.
Yeah. I listened to someone ranting on TikTok the other day, but he was just like, we can't even write our own emails now. Like, just write an email from your voice. It's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be curated. It doesn't have to have like all the different things. It's like we've forgotten to just be us in these moments or even in the captions or wherever. It's like we have to still interject our voice. Like ChatGPT can't be us. It's only like a formulaic, as you're saying, like an experience that you're putting out there.
It's so true. And I think of even down to an email, right? And email is definitely my weakest point in marketing is like, okay, I have to always have the, this is for you if, this is not for you if. You have to have all these, like, it's almost like in your mind, especially as an entrepreneur, you train yourself to go through like all of these steps. And it can't just be, like a simple note. You can't just send someone an email with like a simple thought or anything like that. It really is like a formula. And truly, I think the more we can step outside of that, one, the more attention we'll actually get, and the more visibility, more people will actually care about us and then be more visible, but also just more entertaining and more like, if I just got a random email from the Fully Express podcast being like, hey, saw this cute Pinterest, Pinterest quote, and then just nothing else, I'd be like, that's fun, thank you. And I'd be more inclined to open all the emails, not saying that I'm not now, but I think just being more human.
Yeah.
In a less formulaic way is the way to go.
People are craving that too. Even down to like when we are building like our memberships and stuff, I'm like, I don't want to choose like the go-to thing. I want text. Like I want like the easy conversation that comes through natural relationships, not the professional way of creating a business. Does that make sense? Like I'm trying to say like we're all craving that like authenticity. It's just so hard not to use that word. That realness that you do in your day-to-day.
No, totally. We're so focused on the outcomes and, you know, what is it, selling the transformation. Again, it's going back to like the formula, which those things do work. But at the same time, people just want to be around people and feel less like a formula, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's why things seem to be shifting back to in-person versus so much online. I mean, I know social media is booming, but I think about like we just ended our virtual community. There's other people throughout like starting virtual communities that aren't growing where they thought they would because I think so many people are reflecting back to us that they're craving to be in person and less on their phone or less on their computer. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're craving humanness.
No, truly. And I actually, a big part of my business that I'm leaning into now going into maternity leave is I have a community of social media managers who are the most chronically online people in the world, right?
Yeah.
And the way I see it all the time during our events, even though it is online, just being able to speak to other people, you can see the almost like the exhale. Mm-hmm. And even though we can't always be in person, it really is like just being able to connect with people on like, yeah, not always a transactional basis is huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that you said at the workshop was that your personal brand is like a retirement plan. Can you talk about that?
I would love to. Yeah, actually, I'm making just so happens I'm in a season of really leveraging my personal brand for my retirement plan. Is I'm taking the biggest leave I've ever taken in my business with my first baby. I really like, I'm going to take 3 months. I'm going to do it. And while I've had an agency for 5 years, I'm really leveraging my personal brand now to get more brand deals, to leverage my community, build my community up. I have a higher ticket program for social media managers, all those things that are really, I've built, they're sitting there. And if I had more capacity to make myself more visible, I could sell them more. And that goes for anyone with a personal brand, is the more visible you are, the more you can leverage a wider net audience, the more you can diversify your income streams. Like the, and to kind of even go back to the DeLulu mindset of things is when you have people paying attention to you and who are invested in you and will buy peanut butter or courses or whatever it is from you, the possibilities are so endless. Like I thought, I'm like, should I? Should I sell peanut butter? Should I? You know, it, and I really do think that because I've built this brand, this really, and just on Instagram is really where my audience is, is I built this set group of people that continues to grow and it continues to, you know, and filter in and out of people who are really invested in me and what I'm selling. And well, yes, I'm not selling peanut butter at this current moment. In 5 years from now, I could slowly make that shift and be like, I have these people who are invested in me. And here is why peanut butter is my new passion. Follow along. And so to go back to the retirement plan piece is, I think a lot of entrepreneurs are, they experience the shiny object syndrome, much like myself, is when you have a personal brand, you never have to start from zero. You can burn it down from a strategic angle more than anybody else. And because you always will have like a group of people that are invested in you. And to me, that's just like so freeing, exciting, but also calming at the same time. Like I said, in the shift of my business, I'm like, it's going to be okay because I have this thing that will allow like my, especially my revenue, my income streams, all those things to evolve with me.
So good.
And how long did it take you to grow to where you are now?
So I started my personal brand about 3 years ago and I was okay. It was actually March of 2023. And I said, okay, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it every day and no matter how loud the crickets are, super loud crickets. For about 6 months, I'd say I was posting just into the ether, which felt like pretty much no one. And it was about 6 or 7 months where it was like that. And then it really started growing and picking up. So I'd say about 6 or 7 months till I really started getting traction and then getting to where I'm at today, probably about a year. But with that said, if you looked back, like I said, at my old content, it's different. It's still very clearly me. But I think, like I said, when I mentioned people filter in and out is I brought in new sets of people as well, where as I've evolved as well, there's been like those core people, but I've also brought in newer audiences. And so it's ever changing, but I'd say about a year.
What advice would you give to people just starting a personal brand?
My like main, it's not the most groundbreaking or it's not, you know, the craziest thing, but truly is the reason why a lot of people don't have personal brands. The reason why everybody doesn't have one is because it's really hard. It's really discouraging. It makes you feel like you're the cringiest person in the world when you're posting for 6 months to no one. My advice is if you can stick to it and experiment along the way, like you'll make the greatest asset your business will ever have. I truly believe that. But I think sticking to it is just the hardest part because especially with business owners, you're doing so many other things. And when you look at your to-do list, social media is the last thing that most people want to do. But if you see that the same way you see brushing your teeth, or, you know, like going to the retirement plan, contributing to your 401k. If you see building your brand as a necessity, you're much more likely to stick to it.
Did you have any hard moments when you were building your brand? And what kept you going?
I think in the beginning, I think I could really treat, I mean, all things really like a muscle. I think whatever I feel really weak at something, it's just like, oh, it's my first day at the gym. I'm like, oh, okay.
And humbled.
We know that feeling where it's like, oh, God, like just getting back on the elliptical is hard. But then the second day, the third day, it doesn't feel amazing, but it gets better. Mm-hmm. I think some of the hardest times in my personal brand was when I would find something that would work. And then just like social media is so constantly changing, is I want to work forever. Mm. And so as it started to stop working, I was like, oh man, I got to keep going. But, or like keep, you know, evolving and changing. And so I think those times where I just get a little bit stagnant is, and it's stagnant without capacity. I think that's a big part of it too.
Talk about that.
Is if you have, you know, 24 hours a day to come up with ideas and execute them, that looks a lot different than running an entire business or multiple businesses and then getting stagnant. And I found myself in those places in my brand where I'm like, I know we need to revamp, or I know we need to pivot, but I'll get to you because I am so spread thin or whatever it is. I feel that way. But it really is the same thing though too, is I even spent a majority of this weekend, I'm like, okay, I'm pivoting a big part of my business. I have to pivot my social media strategy too. And I thought of it the same way. I'm like, this is like brushing my teeth. I'm not going to not do it. I'm going to really prioritize this and pivot. And like, even though I am at capacity, not just let it stagnate. Because I could very easily do that, just like everybody else too, you know?
Yeah. Ugh, I did that because I started my Instagram. I was literally just like, I need to get back on this back in 2019. So almost like 7 years ago. And I was super consistent. And back then, this was before Reels. It was just post. I would write the long ass captions and open up my heart to the world and all that stuff. And then I got burnt out. And so I was like healing, and I was like, I'm at capacity. I know this thing is such an important thing to invest in, but I need to put that aside because I need the energy somewhere else. And now I'm kind of biting myself in the butt because I'm like, I have to start over again on that brand page. How do I do that?
What makes you think you have to start over again?
I don't want to start over again. I think I was literally thinking about this today. I was like, how can I show up as a version of me today, not who I was? And I've also evolved as a coach and as a person, as a speaker, as the founder of Fully Express. It's so different. And I think thinking back to your brand, your workshop, it's like finding my pillars again. But I have to like do that.
I think a big thing though too is, especially with your great example of what you just said, is feeling like, okay, I have to start over. I have to start fresh. Is at the same time, it's still your personal brand page. And you still have people that are invested in you, even if, let's say you've ghosted them for years, or, you know, however long it's been.
Yeah.
Is, or even let's say you're a completely different iteration of yourself now, is you still built a page where people are invested in you, where it's not like your product page, or it's not just your business. They really are invested in you. And so I think a lot of times too, when people feel like, okay, I am this new version, I have to create this really big, like new, like I, like almost like coming
my
out.
My grand note. Yeah. It's a coming out post. Like a coming out literally post. The thing is like, do I start over? Do I tell everyone this is where I'm at? How do I start? Versus like the Fully Express pages, we're constantly posting all day long.
With your coming out post, there's a lot of pressure behind that, right? Where it's like, this is a big deal. Like, yeah, this is my new debut. That's a huge project. And so that in itself is keeping you from even just posting now and figuring out what those points of view are and refining and experimenting, because you have this big project that's almost stifling you. And so whenever people always come to me like, Sam, should I do a new about me or this and that? I'm like, yeah, no, absolutely. Start chipping away at that, but don't let that be, like you said, almost a coming out post, because then that will keep you from getting in there and getting your hands dirty at all.
Can you share a little bit about the POVs? What does that mean?
Yeah. So I don't think that social media, as someone who's done it for over 5 years, I specialized in food and beverage, but then I really started leaning into personal brands because once I built my own, I was like, oh, everyone needs one of these. And I really found that it doesn't have to be so complex. It doesn't have to be a 40-page deck to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I really found that social media success for personal brands comes from having a point of view. It's not always about having a niche. It's not always about having a specific industry you work in. It's about really being known for something. And so in the workshop is that I lead about social media strategy is how can you really be known for something? And answer really they're simple in nature, but they actually feel like really big questions at the same time. One of the questions that I ask is like, if you weren't worried about hurting your clients or your customers' feelings, what would you tell them? And that in itself can be a spicier take, but it can also be something that you're known for. And like, what that answer is, it might change over time, but being known for something is so much more important than like, yeah, over obsessing about the rules and the consistency and the cadence and all those different things. And so when we talk about POVs, it's really just about finding these buckets of things that you stand by that you can really become known for, especially obviously in social media.
So good.
So how did you navigate that as somebody who clearly sounds like has a lot of interests in different things? How did you circle back? Because you started with food. Mm-hmm. You're like, actually, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. So how did you figure out what it was that you did like or that you really wanted to like go all in on?
So as far as – you mean as far as my personal brand or –
Yeah, like because it's – clearly there's many facets to you. Do you – you know, I've dove a little bit into your brand, but I didn't go all the way. Like do you share all of that or you still stick to like what you're speaking about, like what you're known for?
Yeah, I think with my personal brand in just in general was I was building it because I used to be a teacher. And it was 3 years ago where I was like, oh, I want to help other social media managers – build a business too. So I really did build that page with that understanding. So I would say my POVs really do revolve around social media managers and what I think about them. A big thing for me is I think you can make more money when we see each other as community, not competition. Mm-hmm. Like we can help get clients on each other's rosters type of thing. So I have those POVs and those buckets. And I think that's really what I'm known for through my brand. But to that point is it's almost like what the analogy I would use in my workshop was like, think about it almost like an ice cream sundae where the POVs and the things that you're known for are these like the ice cream scoops, right? But the branding and the points of recognition and like the random things that just make me a human are the sprinkles and the cherries on top. And I think those are almost just as important as the scoops of ice cream and the POVs.
Got it. Yeah. You're sharing more of all of you.
And to be honest, like one of the things I actually shared as well is with having a personal brand, it's not the same as being an influencer or really, you know, bleeding out in your personal life in order for people to get to know you. Most people don't know much about my relationships or, you know, anything going on in my personal life. It's more of like I was drinking celery juice every morning and people got to see that, or I was training for a marathon and I took people along with me, just other things other than the thing that you offer. And that in itself makes you human, where it's not like you have to be, oh, me and my boyfriend got in a fight last night.
Yeah, you don't have to share your entire personal life.
Yeah,
I think that's so helpful because I think I'm thinking about our community members, right? We have a lot of women that are building businesses, have started their businesses. They're dabbling on social media and then they get like stuck on like, well, what do I share? And this is so good because the go-to business marketing is like find your niche and only talk about your niche. But this sounds like a little bit different. It sounds like more of like what's your point of view in your niche or like what do you want to stand by that's like a little different. And you can also share a little bit about your life to make it human.
And I think it's important and I'm not always saying like, oh, don't do, you know, we talk about not having a formula, not being so structured. I think there is, you know, there's power in understanding your people and knowing the common threads between your ideal clients. I think knowing your ideal client avatars, I know that's a very, you know, marketing thing, but I think really knowing who your people are and knowing their personality types is a really great way to figure out what those extra things are. For me, I found out very quickly that my people gravitate towards personal development and aspirational, like almost like wellness is always a big one because that falls into the personal development category. So I knew whenever I'm struggling on what to share about myself, I could always lean in that direction. What am I doing to make myself better, whether it's in the business world or in my gut health, you know? And I think showing that I fail at other things, well, maybe I don't fail at social media all the time, really does also make me human too. Because I think we always feel like we always have to be the best and we always have to talk about how, I have so many wellness clients as they feel like they can never share that they go out or that they ever eat
that
a,
is
like a chicken tender
or big part.
And I'm like, no, please. Like if I knew my favorite wellness women ate chicken tenders on the weekends, it would make me feel like the biggest exhale. I feel so connected to them. Like you can do both. And so I think that humanness as well, hopefully can like even
I feel
just
like
open
the whole wellness industry needs to hear that.
Please eat chicken tenders.
Yeah. It's like when they all do the what I eat in a day and I'm like, they either don't eat or they eat like so clean. I'm like, please tell me this is not how you eat every day. Like I could, this is like unimaginable.
Even, but that's the thing too, is there is that aspirational angle, right? Where yes, they clearly eat more clean than I do, but if they just threw in one chicken tender on the salad, I would just feel like, you know what? Thank you. Thank you, Jessica, please. That would make me feel so much more comforted and not feel like it is so far out of reach.
Right. Too. It's not unattainable.
Mm-hmm. And it grabs my attention too. I'm like, there she is. Like there
I'm
is.
Like, ooh, a chicken tender. She has a chicken nugget.
Exactly.
I want to know, like, how much do you let your audience into their process? So, like, the first thing I thought about these wellness people that you're talking about, I was like, I know that they're making conscious decisions about, do I eat this? Do I not eat this? As former wellness girlies, is it helpful for their audience to share that, for them to share that part of themselves? Like, hey, like, these are the decisions that I make. Like, how much do you let your audience into your process? Like, vulnerably. Let's just talk about vulnerability.
As far as, are you meaning almost like from like the chicken tender perspective type of thing? Honestly, I think because you still want to have a level of authority, right? You still want to be the person that people look to, whether you're in the wellness world or the social media world. But I've actually gotten, just I'll use myself and as an example, is I've gotten more, I guess I don't know if the word is attention, but more people reaching out to me when I've said, I thought this was going to work and it didn't. Here's what I'm going to do now. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that I'm always talking about how this flopped and oh well, but it's really like, okay, this didn't work the way I planned from a social media perspective, whether it's for me or for a client. Mm-hmm. And like, here's what I'm going to do about it. Or from the wellness perspective is, yes, like I put chicken tenders on my salad and here's how I balance that throughout my day, whether it's, you know, only eating green juice, salad. Green juice for breakfast or whatever it is. But I think it's really like showing your expertise in the process. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's necessarily there is any rule of what how much you can and can't share. But I do think that having that human element to it where you're not perfect all the time, where if I just posted that my clients are getting millions of views all day long, like that's great. That's, you know, there are accounts like that, or how to get 100,000 followers overnight. I could probably create posts like that and help people do that. Boring. If people want to see, like people want to see the failure. They want to see how did you get to a place where you can do that for people.
Yeah.
And even maybe if you are, like I say, whether you're in the wellness industry or social media or finance, whatever it is maybe if you are on top now and you're not making a lot of mistakes, talk about when you used to. Because that can really bring people into your world and at least show you how you got there.
Mm-hmm. How do you choose what platform to be on?
That's knowing your people and knowing where they are. And some people aren't going to like it, but some of your people are on LinkedIn and you got to go there. Thankfully, mine aren't there, but because I don't want to go there. I think that's one thing is I always tell people when building your brand is knowing your people is the most important piece before you do anything. And really, where are they? Mm-hmm. You know, where I had one client I was consulting with who wanted to get on bigger stages and be a speaker. And I was like, that's great. And I'm not saying we can't look at Instagram or TikTok, but
LinkedIn.
Leveraging LinkedIn is going to be a great place for you because that's where they're looking at those the most. But with that said, it's really ever changing. Now, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would never have said that product-based businesses should focus on TikTok. But with the rise of TikTok Shop, I might, yeah, get on over there. Service providers, I definitely lean towards Instagram. Mm-hmm. But it really is about knowing your people, but also knowing how the platform functions too.
Mm. Those are good tips. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions?
I'm just thinking, like, I struggle because I have, like, a luxury jewelry brand, mm-hmm. Fine Jewelry, and then we have Fully Expressed. Mm-hmm. And I just decided after she listened to your talk and we talked mm-hmm. about it, like, doing our own personal brands and driving it back to Fully Expressed. Mm-hmm. But where I struggle is, like, what do I share – like, who – what am I offering on my personal brand? Because mm-hmm. I feel like with Fine Jewelry, it's such a different world. Like, I'm not – everything always leads back to jewelry. I'm not necessarily like showing myself at Pilates. Like, I just think, mm-hmm. you know, I'm selling like sometimes $8,000 pieces. Like, it's just a different market. Mm-hmm. And so the personal brand is so different because it's like where I want to show up as myself. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, how do I even leave the jewelry behind? I get overwhelmed and then I post nothing.
So to me, I'm like, wait, I want you to post because I want to know mm-hmm. so much more because you have a community and a fine jewelry line. I've never heard of anyone having those two types of businesses before. But that's like the coolest thing is that's so many of us, right? Where we explain our businesses, they're like, you do what?
Yeah.
No, wait, I want to know more about you as a founder. Mm. And you can be a founder of both of those things because you are a founder of both of those things. Where mm-hmm. I want to see what a day in a life looks like with you when you're really leaning into your jewelry business. Mm-hmm. But then I also want to see the behind the scenes of what goes into really building the kind of community that you guys have. Mm-hmm. Because that's almost like you want people to be nosy about you and okay. it'll give them the opportunity to.
Yeah.
Where it's not like you have to be, you know, with your bookkeeper showing us all your taxes, but, you know, you picking out the different pieces that you're going to put in a certain collection and what the process is like behind that mm-hmm. or really what goes, I mean, you guys host so many incredible events. There's so much that goes into events. I've hosted like doing literally two and I'm still tired. Like, but so if you guys can even shed light on all of those things, I mean, people don't realize
how much goes into that process. Yeah.
And you honestly, and that's even where the humanness can come from with your brand is, oh my gosh, hosting events is a lot. It's like it's my favorite part of my business, but you, like literally this is my list. And let's go through the list
I wish
together.
People knew.
Yeah, it's so much work.
Every time they're like, oh, you're hosting an event this week. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. But little do you know all the effort and details that have gone behind.
Oh no, trust me. Every time hosting I see an event, things, I'm like, oh. There they go. That's it. I see it.
No, that's super helpful. I love that.
My other question I had in regards to the same thing. So you have something that you're talking about. Some of our audience is like, I want to create something. I know I feel called to be creating something, but I have nothing that I'm selling and I have nothing that I've created yet. But they want to start a personal brand. Where do you start with that?
That's the best place to start. Because I think going back to that humanness element is – not having it all figured out is the most human thing that you can be right now because everybody else is showing up like they have it all figured out. Everybody is showing up like I'm like, I'm perfect on social media. I'm so rich and buy my things, you know? Where if you're like, I have $6, I don't know what I'm doing, but here are my thoughts.
Yeah.
Like that is such a powerful place to be. And that is my goal in all of these things. And even like my own pivot too is like, how can I get more people to be excited about not knowing, being excited about being at square one, because that's what people want to see. People want to see you figuring it out. And because when you do figure it out, they get to be the people that are like, I was there when she had no clue what she was doing. Yeah. And that is such an exclusive feeling.
It is so exclusive. I feel like people wear like a badge. They're like, I knew her when she was not
You know, you feel good about it. You're like, I followed you when you first started and look how far you've come.
No, it's like they almost get this like this territory over you and it's so special actually. Yeah. I'll have people the same thing will be like, I remember you during the Sage Green era.
They're like, I remember the disco ball.
You're like, okay.
I'm not talking about how I don't like them now. It's okay. It's just, you know, but it's.
You're like, shh.
Yeah, I'm like, thank you. I'll send you a gift basket. But I think that in itself, I mean, I remember there's quite literally a granola butter company. I don't know if you know what Oat House is, but it's a really cool granola butter company. Mm-hmm. They rebranded, changed their name. Every single time they post, I think the same thing. I was with them when they were granola butter. Like I don't even really purchase the brand that often, but I'm like, I knew them before. And I think that if you can create that now, you're creating people for life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not the most concrete answer, but the more you can show the scrappiness.
I wish when I was building my life coaching business, I wish I shared more about like the process behind showing, like the process behind building the life coaching business, not just simply giving advice or, you know, talking to whatever they're working through. Like, I wish I let them into like, hey, I'm building this business and this is what I'm doing. I didn't do that.
To that point is, I think, especially from the coaching industry angle, is so many people, I feel like maybe it's more people that have an opinion towards the coaching industry. They'll be like, oh, people just decided to be a coach today. And while that is the case for some people, a lot of people really do a lot of work before you
became. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was certified. I was like, in school. There was like so much, but they don't know that. But I could have. Yeah, I could have let
and
them
and
know.
Not necessarily yeah. You need to go back and do that now, but I think.
It's not permanent.
But like, it's like, hey, let's
not this version
it.
Today.
She just holds up the certification. She's like, just FYI.
Back, I did this and I have this certification. I did this. Just kidding.
Here's why you should listen to me. No, but I think that even along the way, that goes for the same thing. If anyone's like, I know I want something, but I'm not sure yet, mm-hmm. that in itself mm-hmm. could be an incentive to start posting now and showing us along the way. Because, yeah, even if it takes, you know, a year from now, we knew that you didn't just wake up and decide to be a social media manager, to be a life coach, mm-hmm. to. You know, the fill in the blank there is, I think showing the journey also gives some legitimacy to what you're doing, mm-hmm. even if you are newer at it.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Those are my questions.
I love that. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of like our audience as well. What do you do when you're stuck on content?
Ooh. They always say, I feel like the social media gurus will always say, create before you consume. I'm not a creative person in that way. So kudos to anyone who can. I love to consume and then create. Is I will look at so many different types of reels. I love looking at other industries' reels than my own. I love looking at food bloggers' reels and the way they format things. Because
you really like food. Even the Food Network show that you gave us.
I'm telling you, I've taken something that's so unrelated to what I'm doing and just like injected it because I'm like, I like it. And that's what is so fun.
Why people like even her like offer that she posted was called Sunday School.
I saw. Yeah. Yeah.
She loves food.
I love food too. So I hear you.
And that's the thing too, is that's just so fun about business in general. But I just also feel like I have like another edge because it's also social media and business. It's like, you only make it up. You like. Just I was making that workshop and I had my ice cream scoop analogy and I was like, I'll just call this off for Sunday School. Like I came up with it a couple hours before the workshop. And I was like, yeah, that's good. And it's I think that's the same thing with social media too, is there's no rules. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
So you get inspired first and then you go and create the content.
So I'll see, like, so a food blogger will, and I think it's more from a structural perspective, right? Where I'm obviously not creating recipes so much,
right.
Which actually could be a good angle, social media recipes, but that's for another time. But is I'll look at structures of videos from other people, like other industries as well, whether it's the wellness industry or what have you, and then I'll use the structure, take my points of views or the things that I want to talk about, and basically use that structure to create and use my messaging. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love that.
So I definitely consume a lot when I'm feeling stuck.
Yeah.
You get inspired.
Oh.
For sure.
Oh, my gosh. I do think the key is not getting so sucked into your industry. Because the more you are scrolling in your own industry, the more susceptible you are to comparing yourself to other people, getting that imposter syndrome feeling. If you're looking at a girl making smashed potatoes, you're not going to feel all that compromised. You're like, oh, that's I like the way she edited that. And then make it for yourself.
Do you have people help you now make reels and things like that?
I do. I have a team of 7 right now. I do really still take on a lot of my own stuff, but I don't know if you guys have seen the video editing out there lately. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And so with those types of things, I do lean on support.
Cool. I'm thinking about our audience. Like, how do you know when to outsource that?
So I'm like trying to think of how to answer that without going completely, because I, as someone who coaches social media managers, I think it's when people think about outsourcing social media, you immediately think social media management. And management, I think we lose sight of that word. Management's a really big word. Like the same way, like the word manager at a restaurant, that's where my mind goes, is the word manager at a restaurant is a really all-encompassing role, right? You do a lot of things. And so I think the more we can remember the word management is a lot going on, is that's why there are those high ticket prices behind it, and there should be, is because it is such a big investment, but it is such a big role. Mm-hmm. So to that point, when someone comes to me looking to know when is it time to invest for social media, to outsource, get help, is not always putting yourself in the box where management's the only way to go. There are ways to get social media support, whether it's video editing or, you know, consulting or things like that, that is a much smaller commitment, but also a much smaller investment. Because the last thing that you want to do is get a cheap social media manager. Like, actually, a $600 a month social media manager is a disservice to almost everyone. Because, again, that big all-encompassing role, you're now doing it for a very low ticket price, and that's where a lot of issues happen. So to answer your question in the shortest way I possibly can, truly, is outsourcing can look like so many different things. And I think that it's so easy to think that management's the only direction, when really, if you are consistently building content and you are on a cadence, you started building that muscle, what would outsourcing 5 or 6 videos a month look like for you? And that's, you know, video editing is an option where that really only looks like maybe a couple $100 a month, $400 or $500 a month for a good one. And it doesn't also make you feel like social media is crippling your business either. So there's no real timeline, but I think there's just other options that aren't as daunting.
Yeah, or I mean, the editing piece is like a big part, I think. I mean, we've outsourced some of the video content for this because it's just...
Yeah, the editing is a lot.
There's just no way. But we still do the posting right now, and now we're moving to the place where they're going to completely manage it, which is going to be different. But we took those phases because we were like, okay, we need with... I mean, one, uploading all these videos take a very long time. Very long time. You're sitting there in front of your computer, and then you have to edit it, and then you have to listen to it, and then you also have to pick out the clips within the audio of like what's going to stick for the trailer. Those are all a lot of capacity and a lot of energy. So we outsource that, and then we're taking the next stage to like actually managing it all that. But I love that you said that, because I think people need to realize like you can just get help with editing the video. Yeah, which takes a lot of time too. Like even when I sit on Instagram, it takes me like anywhere between like 15, 30 minutes to maybe an hour to create a piece of content. Especially when it comes to a reel. Maybe a post is different, but it just takes time.
I think knowing also where your sticking points in social media are is super important as well. So even to that point, is a lot of people do get analysis paralysis, and pressing post is the hardest thing for them. So if that's the case, I'll always tell people, especially for business owners who might not be ready for a $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month investment for management, is get a social media virtual assistant who will be the one to press post for you. So you're like, there's nothing better than putting a paywall behind the things that you're stressed about. Because you're like, okay, I'm paying for it. I'm paying for someone to quite literally press post for me. But if you get stuck in the execution process, that's where video editing makes more sense, you know? So I think it's all really about when you're first initially starting to outsource, what are your biggest sticking points with social media?
Even for me, when I was first starting my jewelry, I visited a friend in Hawaii, and she had a woman that came, like she was maybe in her early 20s, and she would come take video footage and then like create reels for her. And she did it for me for my jewelry, and they were amazing. And she was so fast. Like her brain worked very different than mine. She was just cutting clips, and she gave me 4 videos in 2 hours. And so I think – and she was $25 an hour. So, you know, find a college student or someone that you struggle with making videos, like doing it yourself, all of it.
And I think that's that, even to that too, like one, that's a steal. We love that. I mean, that was a steal. And I think I think there is people, I mean, the same thing with, I think social media is one of those industries right now where it's like, I think about like the fashion industry and Devil Wears Prada, is like people want to work in it, people want to get experience in it. And, you know, people who are really good at it will have the prices that reflect that. But
she was also just starting. Like, that was literally,
And I think that
she wanted experience.
Knowing the kind of help that you're hiring will make for the best relationships with outsourcing social media, for sure.
So good.
Let's talk about mamahood.
I literally was going to do the same thing.
Like, I don't know much about it, but I'm here, sure.
Well, so you expressed before mm-hmm. we hit record mm-hmm. that you are shifting your business. Mm-hmm. And something that we've had a lot of business entrepreneur women in our life reflect to us that are pregnant or getting pregnant, like being pregnant and knowing you're bringing a baby in the world just really mm-hmm. refines your business. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to know, how is it showing up for you and how is it impacting what you're going to shift?
Oh my gosh, it's changed everything. And I started my business because I wanted to be home with my kids. I 5 years ago was like, I want this thing, because I truly cart before the horse envisioned it. And mm-hmm. I wanted this kind of life for my future family. And so I've always, when people always ask you, like, what's your why? That's always been my mm-hmm. why. And so now that it's happening, oh my gosh, the way I wish I could bottle up these pregnancy hormones and keep them forever. I don't care about anything. But like, from a very productive and strategic point of view, where I truly think, especially with kind of what I mentioned before we started the episode, is I've built up a couple different like facets of my business, and I'm completely willing to burn them down to do it differently so I can be more present as a mom. And it's, I think in any other world I'd be so much more scared, but right now I'm like, oh, I'll just replace $20,000 a month. It's fine. I'm like, oh, who cares?
I'll figure it out.
It's fine. And I truly do think that it's whatever is going on here. And it's really, I feel like pregnancy has given me such a steady mindset that you can't explain to anybody until you're in it. Especially, I'm such a high-strung, like, always spread thin individual. Mm-hmm. And so this has just been, like, the most exciting era, because it's so much clarity. I know that sounds like just a lot of word salad, but I've never felt more clear about my business direction, but also have never been so, like, no, yeah, let's just burn that down and then build this over here.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can I ask, like, how you're shifting and, like, what you're letting go of?
So it's been,
especially because you've built, I don't know if I want to give them some context, like, your agency, like, it's big.
I built my agency, like I said, 5 years ago. And I really did, from the jump, you hear a lot of people who undercharge from the beginning. Yeah, that wasn't me. I was highballing from the beginning, amazing, almost to a fault, where I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So I've always had a really successful agency, and I've been really lucky in that. But I've decided to close it down and shut it down. And for the first time in, like, my entrepreneurial journey, and in 5 years, I'm not going to be doing done-for-you services. And it's so scary. And I've always loved the cushion of monthly recurring revenue, but at the end of the day, I looked at my systems and I looked at even the people on my team. And while I have a lot of really great people, I looked at that part of my business and thought, when I'm in labor, am I going to be calm about this? Mm. And the answer was no. And so
you're like, it has to go.
I'm like, it has to go, because I've made a lot of concessions for my business where, you know, I'll go on my honeymoon. Okay, I'm going to be off my phone. Did that happen? No. I've made a lot, you know, all these different things where I'm like, okay, like, I'm stepping away now. And things would kind of come crawling back, especially with the agency piece. And in this new era of motherhood, I'm not willing to be in the hospital and be in labor and wondering if a post has gone up correctly. And not saying that my team couldn't do that, but I think it's just,
but it's you and you knowing yourself and how you operate.
And knowing myself, and I think knowing yourself is truly, like, such a pivotal piece of being a business owner and, like, leveling up in that way, is I know myself, and there are certain things I've been able to relinquish control on. Mm-hmm. My agency has been the one that's always been the stickiest, so I'm going to close that down.
Are you open to saying how much it's bringing in a month?
So I have been slowly shutting it down for about 6 months now. I don't think I really knew that's what I was doing. I think I was just slowly, like, if a client would stress me out, I'm like, oh, well, you're done. I'm like, oh,
okay. Like, oh. Thank, like, just, you and goodbye.
All of a sudden, ever since I saw that pregnancy test, it's like, oh, I get, like, you know, a client asks for an extra something. Like, oh, well, that's, sorry, see you later.
You know? It's okay. You could leave.
Like, you're fired.
Love you. Bye.
Yeah.
But so I have been slowly doing it. So since October, with me fully shutting down the agency by April, it'll be about $30,000 a month. Sorry, I'm like laughing. I'm like, that's the first time I'm saying that out loud. But thank you.
That's awesome.
I'm like, I've never felt like so happy to lose so much money. But
I think it's such a reason I asked you is like it's such an inspiration because I think so many business women, especially like they're looking at the revenue numbers. They're looking at their numbers, like how much am I bringing in? And like they're thinking like, I can't let that go. What do you mean? Yeah. That's a chunk. Yeah. And so it's really inspiring to hear you say that.
This is an exclusive. This is my first time saying it out loud. I was like, I think I don't think I would have ever been able to do it without this new chapter of my life. Mm-hmm. I think I would have really always held on to the revenue, or like there is so much comfort and security attached to stuff like that. But ultimately, I think I've been having pushback for a while of, I don't love being a project manager. And that's really with everybody else doing the creative pieces and all the fun stuff, essentially, in my agency. That's really what I became. And
you're a people manager.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, that's not fun. I like French fries and chicken tenders in my content and all the things. And so I'm so excited. While it's so scary and, you know, replacing $30,000 a month sounds like such a big feat, to me, I have so much confidence in the brand I've built. I'm like, oh, okay, well,
pivot.
Let's pivot and get back to what I actually like doing. So I'm excited.
I love this. This is literally what Samantha Skelly was saying.
Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to, like, you have put your priority as your child, as it should be. But I think it's so hard when so many of us come from a lack mindset or like a fear of losing this consistency. But I think, you know, we said in the beginning, entrepreneurship is a spiritual journey. And I feel like that's something entrepreneurship does teach you, is like sometimes you have to take big risks and really trust yourself. And from, I mean, I'm not a mom yet, but from all the moms in our life, they say like, you trust yourself so much more. And then once you give birth, once you get through birth, you're like, oh, bring it on. I could literally do anything in life.
I'm telling you, it's the coolest thing. I'm like, I never anticipated that in pregnancy at all. I always thought I was a very steadfast person. Oh my gosh. Just wait till you get to the second trimester. Oh my gosh. It's so cool and it's such a liberating feeling, but it truly just took one journal prompt for me to be like, okay, I'm done with that. And all those big changes will be done by next week. So it's just it happens fast, but I'm so excited. And I sound like I'm just a walking billboard for a personal brand, but I get to sleep so much more soundly at night because I have this thing that I can really lean on and honestly be transparent about, because nothing's concrete. It's not like I can never have an agency again.
Yeah.
And I think I have struggled initially with the credibility piece of like, oh, if I don't have an agency anymore, am I still a good social media manager, coach? And I'm like, no, this is going to make me better because I'm going to show them how to make the exact same money doing something else in social media.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you could see it lights you up. So it's like, you know, it's right for you, you know, even though it's scary, you're just like, oh, this feels so good in my body. And I think that's so important to trust how you feel when you make a decision like that.
I'm just in an era where I really just don't want to check Slack for a while. I'm just so excited about it. You know, honestly.
Managing people is a lot. It's a lot of work.
You're constantly on them.
Yeah. And I've seen what success can look like in, you know, with an agency. And I'm just so excited to see for the first time what success can look like without an agency. And so, yeah.
I mean, you also have I think the other thing that's cool about your personal brand, there's a skill set in that. So one of our friends just lost her Instagram account of like 40,000 followers, which is like a whole thing. And she's not tripping about it. Like, she's like, I'll just start a new one. And so I also want to talk to that like a little bit. Like, that's also the retirement plan piece. It's like, if your personal brand is gone, like, she's so confident. I mean, she knows how to work social media very, very well. She's like, I'll just start another one. Like, yeah, she would love her old one back, but I think she's like okay with like building a new one.
There is.
Because of the skills that she's developed through building the one that she had.
I was going to say the skill set piece too is such a, and like I even said to the point about, you know, members of your community who are at this place where they're like, I want something, but I'm not sure what that is yet, is it's almost like starting over is so exciting. Like, almost, I'm like, oh gosh, sometimes I'm like, oh, that'd be so fun to be at a place where you're starting over and starting fresh. Because it does give you a whole new angle, a whole new opportunity. Well, yes, don't get me wrong. Please, Instagram. I would like to keep my account.
Don't delete me.
I don't really want to start over.
This is not a request.
Please. But I think there is something so liberating in that too. But especially with that skill set, you've done it before. You can do it again. And it really is the same thing like going to the gym. It really is that muscle where like I've built a cadence at the gym before. I've lost 10 pounds before, I can do it again kind of thing. And I really do see it as such a similar thing to build, really.
So good.
I know. I love that. I'm like loving this conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. I love talking about it.
So one thing we always ask at the end of every conversation is where, which this might be perfect, where in your life are you feeling more called to be fully expressed?
I'm being more called to just be more present across the board. I think just really being in the nitty gritty of all the things is something that is like the antithesis of what I'm being called to do. So I think like being more present in my brand, being more present in my creativity, and being more present in like, honestly, crafting. And maybe that's the nesting part piece of it where I'm like, you know, I'd love a needlepoint hour in my life, you know, where I think I'm just being called to be less in the hamster wheel and more in the having the ability to wake up and be like, I'm going to create a piece of content today talking about ice cream sundaes in the way of social media, or just having more flexibility in that way, but being more fully expressed in just like my day to day, I guess.
I love that.
So good. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is such a good topic for everyone to listen. I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Now I'm officially shutting down my agency, so it's good. I said it out loud, so it's good.
Yay. It'll already be shut down by the time people hear this. It's gone.
You've manifested it. It happened.
It's already gone.
It's done.
I'll be needle pointing by the time.
Head to her Instagram to see where she is now.
Yeah, no, for real. Back me up.
Check out what's new.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.